Dobar večer. Ponovno smo med vami na valovih Radio Študent, vesoljci, tisti, ki včasih v nočnih urah kršimo običajne kriterije, seveda zavestno, radijske produkcije, v želji, da se na način back to basics dokopljamo do novih, sigurno pa drugačnih kriterijev. Nocojšnji dveurni program se imenuje Radio Piracy, kar je ideja, ki bi jo lahko izvedel člani kolektiva Critical Art Ensemble of Chicago, če bi seveda prišli včeraj začer pravočasno. No, tako pa smo si noč v kapelici in seveda v ljubljanskem etru doživeli radio Beauty and the East s številnimi prisotnimi medijalci, ki se v teh dneh udeležujejo seminarja, ki ga organizira Ljudmila s tem istim naslovom. Kaj je Ljudmila? Seveda Ljubljanski digitalni medijski laboratorij. Predavanja potekajo v glavnem v Šentvidu. Če se je včer seminar nekako tako zabavno začel, pa se je nadaljeval v resnici zares danes, ob 10. zjutri in traja še vedno, se je prav ta trenutek v prostorih kluba K4 predava slavni Hacking Bay, ki je prav gotovo eden najbolj samosvojih ameriških mislecev. V seminarju lahko seveda verjetno redki zainteresirani prisostujete tudi jutri, sicer začenši enako ob 10. zjutraj. Sprav vsi, ki ste ali pa še boste so udeleženi v mednarodnih artističnih mrežah, pejte si pogledati ljudi, s katerimi boste ali pa že imate kar nekaj stikov. No, zdaj pa nazaj k nocojšnjemu programu. Naslednji dve uri ali dve slabi uri bomo poslušali ne goli posnetek tiza, kar se včeraj dogajalo v kapelici in v etru, recimo na področju centra, občine center, ampak eno interpretacijo, se pravi montažo včerajšnjega radijskega oddajanja teh ljudi. Ja, tam smo se zabavali Gert in Jo z Rotterdamskega radija pa tako. Ministranta so bila seveda tako kot ponavad Luka in Savski, potem pa so sodelovali še kar precejšen del prisotnih artistov.
To radio Beauty in the East, broadcasting a test signal. Check in again at 8:30 when we begin for real.
Poslušate testni signal radia Beauty in the East, zares začnemo v 8:30.
Listening to radio Beauty in the East, broadcasting a test signal. Check in again at 8:30 when we begin for real.
Poslušate testni signal radia Beauty in the East, zares začnemo v 8:30.
You are listening to Radio Beauty in the East, broadcasting a test signal. Check in again at 8:30 when we begin for real.
Poslušate testni signal Radia Beauty in the East, zares začnemo v 8:30.
Listening to Radio Beauty in the East, broadcasting a test signal. Check in again at 8:30 when we begin for real.
Poslušate testni signal Radia Beauty in the East, zares začnemo v 8:30.
Listening to Radio Beauty in the East, broadcasting a test signal. Check in again at 8:30 when we begin for real.
Poslušate testni signal Radia Beauty in the East, zares začnemo v 8:30.
I'm here with a couple of locals, and I'd like to have your names and comments about what you see happening here.
We see the videos, we see somebody supposed to speak, but we didn't hear what he said, and we see a lot of people, but I don't know.
Different people.
And how does that make you feel?
Good, very good, but it's hot, awfully hot.
It is awfully hot, isn't it? I don't know if you're somewhere else listening to this, but it's very hot where we are.
It's hot for a start. It's enough hot for a start.
So who's the weirdest looking person that you've seen so far?
I think it's my friend, you know. He's the weirdest, yeah.
Can you tell us who he is and why he's so weird?
Sure, he's from Sarajevo. He's an artist and a legend, as I say. That's Vuk wrote on this diary.
He's the legend.
But I came here to eat, to sleep, to drink something, and I don't know why I'm here, actually.
Are you satisfied?
Of course I am, yeah, I can say, all people, I can say one thing, you are welcome.
What?
Everybody are welcome, yeah, so what?
Okay, and have you seen some weird looking people?
Yeah, I'm looking those faces who I never seen before, but I'm not sure. I came from last century. Yeah, so.
He wants to meet Tamiko, the video woman.
Well, we're going to have to speak to her boyfriend about this.
I must announce one thing. I'm making performance on Saturday evening morning, so I invite everybody to come.
Where?
Where it should be? In
11 a.m. on the Chopova Street in the center of Ljubljana.
I think that performance could be something interesting.
Something very special.
Yeah.
Okay. Next to me,
is Goma. You're from Italy. You have a publishing house, and it's expanding. Yeah. So we hear every year that there are new books, more books. Is this true?
That's true, and now our plan is to publish 12 books in a year. It's quite, I think, a good aim for a small and independent publishing house. We are cooperative, and we start absolutely with no money, and we are not interested in money, just to collect some for the next project. And the next project, by the way, is to publish a book in the English language. So
because you will have a publishing house in London as well?
Yeah, we want to open a seat managed by Matt Fuller, who is here with us. And because a lot of people saw our catalog and they asked to publish their stuff, and so for us it's really important, because we noticed that there are some differences amongst the different nations, and so it is better to start, for example, in England and US with one proposal, and after a couple of years to try to spread the same book translated, for example, in Italian. And I believe that this operation will be important for us to have more feedback than the one we have at the moment.
Can you tell us what we can read in the latest issue of Decoder? Because the magazine is still published, huh?
Yeah, there is this this text taken from the previous Nettime anthology. It is the text the FAQ on Access for All, and we decided to translate it because it touches very important points for the Italian debate. I'm talking about the debate of the movement, and especially on the so-called social enterprises, which are groups with social aims who has the need to collect some money to reach this goal.
You mean political projects who are acting as a company to earn money?
Yeah, no, not to earn money as the principal goal, but to have money enough to build a strong project.
A solid structure.
Yeah, solid structure, and this is, we believe, the only way you can make a strong project when you use the new technologies, because it's quite easy, for example, to organize alternative gigs or alternative art shows or something like this. You just need three or four people working in a room and a few money, you can start, and some artists, and you can start. But for example, when you want really to start a project, a real project on the internet, you need a lot of money. Otherwise, the real companies can kill you
they have power over you.
Yeah. That's actually what happened in Italy, where there are these two independent computer networks, and there are really a lot of people involved. They're good people. They spend a lot of time making this project, and they put their own money into the project itself. But when the big companies came into the field, we were really, we had no power against this force.
But Decoder still has this network of mailboxes and BBS systems. It's very unique in the world that you continue this technology.
Yes. We were a little afraid that with the spreading of the internet, there's some problem of the BBS network. And what happened was this, that a lot of people had not the money to connect to the internet, and then there's the problem of the English language. So I believe we work on the local areas, We are based mainly on the main Italian cities, but the results I think are really strong. We have in the two main principal message areas. One is called the cyberpunk area, and then the new one is called nomads area. There are more than 100 messages a day, and it is quite important because really there are involved hundreds and hundreds of people.
Who is maintaining this system?
Only volunteers. And there are
10 people or
no,
20
there are,
or more?
There are I think 55 BBSs. And yes, there are enough for Italy because we cover the whole nation. And there is in the same direction, but on the internet, there is this project managed by the people from ECN. They bought a machine, and that is a server on the net, and they give you to the people of the movement the space on the hard disk to open his own or their own home pages. But I think they have the usual economical problems, because this structure costs really a lot. Because you have to pay for the connectivity, you have to pay for the PC, and after an year, the PC that is online, it's to throw away, because.
We are going to speak here at this conference on Friday afternoon about these models and about institutional power, how you can finance yourself. What do you think of the model in which you have some commercial clients paying, and with that money you finance your autonomous activities? What do you think of that?
Unfortunately, the Italian situation is unique in Europe, because there is nothing funded by the institutions. So the people are obliged to self-organize to make money to start the project. And so what happened is this, that you need some customers, for example. That the way we work with our publishing cooperative is this. We publish our books not for money, but we work for other publishers for money. So we sell assistance or, for example, knowledge on computer science and so on. For example, we direct this series on new technologies for a very important Italian publisher that is called Feltrinelli. And this series is called Interzone, and it's related to new technologies. And we publish good books, for example, Collective Intelligence by Pierre Lévy, or the one by Manuel Delanda, War in the Age of the Intelligent Machines. This is that are good and thick books, impossible to self-produced, but that could sell in the big market. So Feltrinelli pay us for this job, and we have enough money to survive and enough time to make our own activity.
Would you also recommend this model to people in Eastern Europe?
If you are not funded by the institution, I think the only one you can have to do something, really. And probably you are more independent, because you have not to present your projects to anyone. Normally, the things that happen when you are funded by the institution is that you have to present your project, and someone has to sign them, to approve them, before you have the money. In our case, if we have the money from the job, we start with the project. And we could even to waste all the money, we don't care, because if we believe in it, the money is not the problem.
NetTime is 2 years old now. I don't know if you follow the project a little bit. What is your opinion about NetTime, and what are your expectations for this event?
I have been following NetTime from the very beginning, and I think it's one of the most important project on computer in the world. The problem now is that, as it happens always in this kind of project with the news groups or mailing lists, that there are too many messages to read every day. So I think that a technical problem will become something different in a few time if we don't take some steps to solve the situation. And regarding meetings, this I think is really important, because the communication through the net is not enough for the people. But when you want to start a collective project, is necessary to imply your body.
Well, I spoke to Goma from Milan, member of the Decoder Collective. Now with Peter Lemon Wilson from New York. You've just arrived. You had a good journey?
Yeah, great. We drove through southern Austria, Carinthia. Very nice. Yeah, very gothic.
Through the mountains, huh?
Yeah, the Alps. Alps, is that what they were? Yeah, okay.
I haven't seen it yet, but there's this rumor that you have a new book.
I have a few new books. Which ones are you...
Where to start?
Have you seen the book on dreams? Have you seen the book on pirates?
Yeah, pirates, we know that, yeah.
Yeah, so I have a new book on dreaming in Sufism and Taoism. And of course Hakim Bey also has a new book. Have you seen that one?
No, we haven't. We have only heard about it.
So. I have copies for you, Gert. Don't worry.
I'll just tell the audience a little bit. Let's then enter with the book on dreams.
Okay. This is it's a little complicated. I belong to an organization called the Ibn Arabi Society, and we study the works of one of the great Sufi masters, one of the 12th, 13th century. Mohyiddin ibn Arabi. He was from Spain, and he died in Damascus. And this book grew out of a paper that I was presented to that society. I started to write a paper, and it turned into a book. This often happens to me. And so I couldn't even read the whole paper to the society, so I had to publish it instead. And the idea is that you don't need a living human master. You seek your master in your dreams. And in this way you avoid being cheated by some real person who's fake. You know, instead you have a fake person who's real, because you find your dream master. And there are ways to do that. You know, there's techniques in Sufism and Taoism and in various other mystical paths. So it's a comparative study, mostly Sufism and Taoism, but also Hermeticism and early Christianity and shamanism and so forth and so on. All to study the way in which you can induce an initiatic experience through dream or vision, but mostly sleeping dreams.
So can you create for yourself in the process of dreaming throughout a couple of months or years a master? Is it just happening?
Both of these possibilities, you could say. I mean, you could actually work in your dreams. And I mean, there are people who are very talented dreamers, and they can go to sleep in the middle of a dream, and then next night they can continue the same dream. My father did that for a while. I can't. Do you do that? Uh-huh. I don't do that. I'm not really a talented dreamer. But when I was working on the book, I started to dream a lot. And when the people who were working on the book with me, typing it and stuff, they started dreaming a lot. So I think the book helps, you know. And yes, you could say that you construct this persona, but it's not just you. It's not just psychology. It's not just merely subjective. The idea is that you intersect with a world of the imagination. I mean, the fact...
Because if it's an appearance, it comes to you, let's say, maybe from the outside, and if you work on it, then you could say it comes from the inside.
Right, it feels like it's coming from the outside. Now, you know, is that true? I don't know. I mean, I don't believe one way or the other. What I think is that that it works. And it has worked for many people. I mean, there's a whole Sufi order based on this idea called the Uwaisi order. And what they do is they teach you how to dream, and then you get your initiation in the dream from the prophet or from one of the saints. And
they go both ways always. Yeah?
Yeah. If you start worrying about whether it's subjective or objective, you're just going to lose you'll lose the work, and you won't get the work done. So it's better not even to think about that. You know,
but you deal with this question in your text?
No, I don't. I mean, I say that much, that I'm not interested in the metaphysics. I'm only interested, really, in this. I'm interested in the physics, if you want to put it that way, how to make this work and how to make it feel like it's working. You know, and if it feels like it's working, it's working. That's my hypothesis.
Have you been writing down your own dreams in order to make it more clear to yourself?
I did that at one time in my life. I wasn't doing it at the same time I wrote the book, but it's very easy to do this. You probably know this. If you just, as soon as you wake up, you write down what you can remember, and then within a week you can write. You'll remember everything. It's just a self-training. It's a trick, really. And then once you've got that trick mastered, then you start making intentions. I intend to dream about such and such, you know. And maybe that works. Maybe it doesn't. You know, but for you, it would probably work very easily. And
Then let's go to the other one. Your colleague Hakim Bey did a work.
Yeah, this is called Millennium, and it's a very different work. It's a political work. You haven't seen it yet. No, it's basically about the world. What has happened to the world since 1989, and the disappearance of the social. What does that mean? Some thinking is being done about this, but on the left, there's a reluctance to think about this seriously. There's a kind of hallucination that the movement of the social somehow is still there somewhere, even though the USSR has disappeared. Well, that wasn't really socialism, so we still have this socialism. But the fact is, politically, you have shit. You have nothing. There is no left anymore. There is nothing left of the left. And so we have to reconstruct, we have to reinvent, we have to reimagine the entire anti-capitalist concept. Where could that come from? How can we do that without resurrecting Stalinism? How can we do that without having some kind of terrible ideology that we become the slaves of again?
And that time meeting in the former Eastern Bloc here at the edge between East and West in Ljubljana, dealing with this funny net criticism. Could that be part of that reimagination?
I think so. I think this is the kind of place where it has to be done. In my mind, the really important work will not come from America, and the important work will probably not come from Europe. Or from the Pacific Rim, you know, Japan, or one of these kind of capitalist success miracle places. It will come from the former Third World, and the former Second World, which has the intellectual and even some of the economic background to be able to launch. You know, where is it going to come from within this world, which is so intoxicated with capital? Presumably, I mean, I just got here today, so I don't know, but I want to talk to the Eastern European people and try to understand has there been an awakening here, you know, now that there's a McDonald's on every corner? Are people beginning to learn that capital is not going to save their ass, you know, that there has to be another way? But I think that if any part of the world can think that thought, it would probably be Eastern Europe. Don't you think? I mean, a place like, let's say, if we take Malaysia. Well, it could come from Malaysia, but they're so desperately poor there that they have to worry about agriculture and production and things like that, to the extent where maybe they don't have enough time to rethink world politics. But here, I think people should be maybe a little better off economically than the former Third World, and also a little bit more hip, you know, a little bit more hip about what capitalism might imply, because it's so new. They have
they can see it than we do. Yeah, I think so as well. At the same time, it's now pretty much consensus throughout Europe that Paris is no longer the intellectual capital, for example. That London is no.
There is no single place in the world anymore. If there was, I think I would go there. I would know about it, and I would want to be there. Now, Paris? Why? What? You know, no one knows who the modern French philosophers are.
Oh, but Semiotext and Autonomedia did quite a bit of publishing from there
in the 70s. But tell me who the French philosophers of the 90s are. You don't know? Do you know one name? I don't know one name. I just saw a list of them recently, but I never heard of any of them, so I don't remember any of their names. They're not being translated. They're stuck inside the French language in a strange way. They're not reaching us anymore. Us, Semitext, I mean, we don't know what's going on in France anymore. Is it London? No, I don't think so. It's a big mess in London.
Too much fashion, maybe?
Yeah, or pseudo. It's not, I mean, you know, when I was there, they were talking about London is a hip fashion place again. But nobody could explain this. You know, it was a concept in some merchandising mind. It was had no reality on the street at all. You ask Keith or any of the other people from England, they don't know what they're talking. They don't know fashion. What fashion? So is it New York? No, it's not New York. So where, you know, where's the center of the world? There isn't one now. It's because capital is outside the world. There is no one spot where capital flows, or anti-capital for that matter. It's in space. It's out in space.
That's the topic of millennium.
To a certain extent, yeah, in a way, yeah, that's the topic of millennium. Not this geographical question, not the question of the city, which is a very interesting question. No, but it's the major point that the book tries to deal with is what happened in 1989, why is the world different? You know, the idea that over 90% of all money is now pure capital, fiscal or financial capital. There's no relationship to production. When you think of it, this is really hard to understand. Less than 6% of the money in the world refers to anything material. Your shirt, your shoes, this building, the food, the coffee. No. 94% of the money has no relationship to that at all. So this has changed completely. In 1989, this figure was maybe 30 or 40%. Now it's over 90%. That's a fantastic rate of change. And nobody's talking about it. No one has theorized this. The left isn't doing it. The capitalists aren't doing it. Nobody's doing it. Maybe Soros, actually, one of the few people who actually had a few interesting thoughts on this subject.
Because he has seen it from the inside.
When you've got $1 trillion, you know what the fuck is going on, you know? And but you, the fact that he's willing to open his mouth is fantastic. Because these other people, they know what's going on, but they'll never tell the secret. He is a trillionaire who blurts out secrets. That's amazing.
That's why he's also the topic partially of this meeting.
Uh-huh, really? Uh-huh. You're going to actually talk about Soros?
Yeah, about his strategies and the model of the NGO. And
the interesting thing is what the economists, how the economists reacted to his articles on. I didn't actually see the editorial. I only saw some quotes from it. But they called him, they said he was hallucinating. That was the key word. And that's very interesting. Very interesting indeed. To have the spokes, actually the economist is the ideological mouthpiece for that 94% of pure money. And to have them attack Soros, very, very interesting. The next couple of years is going to be very hot for that man. That's my opinion.
Oh, interesting for us who are both inside and outside.
Experiment provides experience. Experience fortifies theory. Knowledge is power. The way is clear. The challenge strong. The duty inescapable. We must have the facts. Common sense calls for the facts. Now.
Station WEB brings you the latest in world news.
The Atlantic Monthly article, which made a big stir. But if you mention him, even to other well-informed people, they might not know who you're talking about. Whereas I think here in Eastern Europe, yeah, everybody knows who he is, right? Yeah, I would think so. The one thing that's sort of known in New York is the drug policy thing. The Lindis was Lindesmith. People do know that, but they don't know it's Soros. That's interesting. You know,
the name of that institute is the Lindesmith Institute, and it deals with harm reduction programs.
Yeah, and legalization. Yeah,
that's part of their program.
Yeah, they have a very good line against the war on drugs, and it's extremely useful to have such a respectable outfit on arguing this way. They're very, you know, tie and jacket and serious science and all this kind of thing. I could never work for them because they're only interested in real science, you know. But that's good.
Social programs as well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's social science.
I am you who also wrote the computer program. I am not intelligent. Perhaps one day I shall be.
Probably the most generates more income for more people than anything else in America now. Not drugs, the war on drugs. An enormous bureaucracy, an enormous...
You mean jails?
An enormous amount of new jails. We have more people in jail in America than any, I think, than any other country in the world now, per capita. We have 500,000 people in jail in America for marijuana alone. Not to talk about the other drugs, 500,000 people, okay? And that, when you think about it, costs something like $30,000 to $40,000 to keep one person in prison for 1 year. So that is an immense amount of income. There are whole towns in America that are living on nothing but the war on drugs. They have a prison, you know, and everybody works at the prison.
And the prison has a factory.
The prison has a factory, paying less than minimum wage or minimum wage, bare minimum wage, with a lot of stuff taken out. So you've got a captive workforce. You've got basically slave labor. That's, and even that's only a small part of it. The really big part is the bureaucracy that's in place to run all this. That's even more enormous. I can't give you figures. Maybe Linda Smith could tell you how many people in America are making their living this way. That's incalculable. And then you have, of course, the CIA selling cocaine. So, you know, it's very good. They don't want it to be legal. You have just the political influence of major drug dealers. Mexican, Colombian, whatever. We're going through a big scandal now that the Democratic Party is apparently completely bought and sold by Colombian and Mexican drug money. Apparently. I safely can say...
Surprise, no?
I can say that here. I don't know if I'd dare to say that in New York, but that's the way it looks now. So, you know, it goes right up to the top, is what I'm saying, in the American government. So, and of course, the American government is the armed wing of international capital, and it, you know, there is no longer any USSR to keep that in check.
Power. Information is power.
Power. You know, the trouble with computers is that they have no loyalty. They'll take it from anybody.
A nine-letter word beginning with C.
Cybernet.
Bloodlit dark behind his eyes, silver phosphine boiling in from the edge of space. Hypnagogic images jerking past him like film compiled from random frames. Symbols, figures, faces, a blurred, fragmented mandala of information.
They have their philosophy. High Times has its, you know, the pro-drug magazine has its philosophy. And then you have the crazies, you know, who want to overthrow the government and, you know, force everybody to smoke pot all day. You know? So, whereas the drug warriors, they're united. They know what they want. And they've got it already. So, you know, this...
Not allowed to have any differences anyway.
Yeah. See, this is why I think basically that all reformism is a waste of time on this subject. Reformism is usually a waste of time. In this case, it's a tremendous waste of time and energy. Look what happened in California. Did you follow this? In Arizona? The people of California and Arizona had a referendum that said they wanted to have medical marijuana. And Clinton... President Clinton said that if any doctor prescribed under these referendums, they would be prosecuted to the extent of the federal law. If the states won't do it, he said the federal government will do it. So there's zero tolerance. It doesn't matter if 99% of the people in America stood up and said, enough, we've had enough, stop this ridiculous war.
Thank you.
but that's my personal bag. But since I am that way anyway, I thought it would be useful for me to be associated with this group where everybody else is that way. So I could be the one voice, you know, I'm very interested, I'm very sympathetic, but I don't do that thing, you know. So that gives me a different perspective than you guys have. And I hope it's sometimes useful to you. And as far as the group goes, the reason why I'm interested in it is because there's nothing in America like it, remotely like it. Why do you think all we Americans come over here? They don't have conferences like this in America. The conferences in America are industry generated, and they're only interested in hearing about the killer apps, you know, the ways to make a lot of money. And that's it. They're not interested. They're not interested in critique. You know, Mondo 2000 is gone. Wired was never intended to take its place. And even Mondo was, of course, zany, you know, 80s kind of overly optimistic, you know. But and that was as good as it got in America as far as critique of the net and of modern communications.
We are so sad about this situation, Peter.
That it, in America, you mean?
Yeah, that there's nothing, no alternative.
I know. I would love to be able to generate the kind of funding in America to have a conference like you can do here in this supposedly poor, backward country. We can't do it in New York. We can't find anybody interested to talk about these things. So even aside from the great theoretical advances, which I think you've made, just the very fact that you're doing it is so valuable to us in America, and that's why we come over here.
Well, let's hear some music then from Szeged, the mixers from Hungary. Yes, and Peter's going to eat.
Talking about women online, do you think that, you know, Kristeva and Ira Garay's work, can you notice online a different way of having discourse between women and men?
Um,
That's a good one. Now, this, if you're talking about chat or moves or so on, I've tried to, of course, like everyone, try to pick whether you're talking to a man and a woman, and I think, you know, I've probably been fooled some of the time, and also a lot of people have thought that I've been a man, and I've gone with that and pretended to be a man and so on. But in terms of the writing, I think that some of my friends who are writing, I'm thinking now of one of Venus Matrix, Francesca de Rimini, aka Gash Girl, that her writing is particularly influenced by the perhaps by feminist writing a bit. And so it's sort of grown up and then sort of expanded onto the online thing because it's a non-linear sort of writing, and because you can use the hypertext in a different sort of way. I don't want to generalise and say it's completely different, but there's a nice style that some women are developing in their writing, online writing.
What do you think will be the future of academic male discourse online?
I have no idea. But there,
it can never stay as straight as it is.
Yeah, it is. It is very straight. Yeah, and I'm amazed by some of the postings that happen. And I feel, you know, I don't join in a real lot because it's often just so serious and so just so straight. I prefer to have to play online and play with words and play with the people that I'm corresponding with, which aren't all women, but it still can be very serious, the academic sort of discourse.
I think I understand what you mean. Of course, if somebody listens to this, or reads this, if I ever type it out, they might very well think, oh, there are these women again, you know, they cannot have a serious conversation. I don't think you mean serious, right? There's something else in these texts that you cannot log into, that you cannot connect to. Could you describe it for that, you know? In a different way. It's not seriousness, it's just stylizing.
Yeah, I guess it's more like the style of writing that puts a distance between you and the person that is supposed to be communicating with you. That's the only thing I can say, really. Because I mean, I talk about serious issues with the people that I correspond with. I'm not belittling seriousness. I mean, there are a lot of serious things to be discussed, and and there's a lot of serious sort of work to be done, you know. But there's also this thing of putting a distance between you and the person that you're communicating with.
And this serves a purpose, of course. But now I'm leaving.
Hello, testing. All right. Hello, I'm Diana McCarty, and we are at Beauty in the East on the opening evening in the K4 Club in lovely downtown Ljubljana. and I have with me two very esteemed and charming guests from Novi Sad in Yugoslavia. Can you please introduce yourselves?
I'm Branka. Just that.
I'm Vladislava Gordic, and I do different things, which I could tell you a bit more later.
Okay, we'll get into that. I have a lot of questions for you. Now, first of all, can you tell me what you will do here in Ljubljana?
I will introduce a quite new, brand new project called CyberNet, which started yesterday. It's a new mailing net, local mailing net, first for Novi Sad and that region, but also connected with nets abroad and within the country, of course, as well.
Okay, how many people are involved with this project?
We just started yesterday, and for a beginning we have 14 people, and I'm just wondering how much has responded today, but I cannot reach my server to check what's going on.
Oops. And are you also involved with this project, Vladislava?
Well, as a matter of fact, Branka did all that was in her power to involve me into this project, and I would be very happy to help her because I'm also very much concerned with the matters of online publishing. Right now I'm working as a guest editor of the online magazine Electronic Book Review, which is dedicated to the postmodern writing in Eastern Europe, and I also hope to promote some Yugoslav magazines on the net in the nearest future. So I hope it will work soon.
Great. Can you give a little statement about the status of the net in your local area? You're living in Novi Sad, which is in the... maybe you can explain it for those of our listeners who don't know where it is.
Novi Sad is on the way from Belgrade to Hungarian border, somewhere in the middle, near the Danube, a town with about 350,000 people, and a university town with a lot of people who are on the net, but they are not connecting between themselves. So that's what we are starting now, to try to reconnect them and to give them opportunity to work together for future internet projects.
And how many projects exist now there on the net?
Oh, it's really difficult to say, because that's exactly what CyberNet will try to do. No one knows what his neighbor is doing, because for the last 6 years we were very much separated from the rest of the world, but unfortunately also from ourselves somehow. So there are a lot of people, but no one has any evidence how much of them are working. What they know is, for example, that Art Association Absolutno is doing some projects, but I'm just wondering tomorrow to hear what they're doing, even we are from the same town. And I know that Alexander Davich is also doing some projects, but it's just a few people, and I strongly believe there must be more.
Okay, that's good. How did you get involved with the online the electronic journal?
Well, I spent a month in Chicago, the University of Illinois, and there I met some people who do the website and who do the electronic magazine, because as a matter of fact, I work at the university, and my field of interest is postmodern American literature and also cyberpunk and the new genres. And I really think that online magazines could do more to promote the new literature, the new trends, both to the people who are not much familiar with them. So we could somehow connect the so-called geeks with the people who are really involved into literature, and I'm really trying to do that through some things of media theory and, of course, through some online and offline publishing.
Right. I think, if I understand correctly, you have a rather bad economic situation, and do you see the net as a tool? I mean, once you get access to the net, do you see it as a tool to defeat certain economic hindrances?
About economic, it's really sometimes it's looking like a miracle that we have any access to the internet, but somehow people manage to find the old computers. A lot of them work with 386, as I'm myself, and we are not looking for expensive stuff. We are looking for a net, for a mailing list, and for people abroad which are ready to come and to give us some lectures, as Hert Loving did last month or at the beginning of this month, and the next visitor will be Stephen Kovac from Ostrovenia, and I would like to see you as well there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how about access to the web? What kind of access to the World Wide Web do you have?
Well, to tell you the truth, the access is next to none. Only very lucky people who have accesses to a few computer rooms at the respective university sites, at the respective university buildings could do that. But there is also a so-called UNET, something, a very new server that has been introduced only a few months ago. But of course you have to pay for the access, and which is, I think, pretty difficult for some people, because students mostly can't afford both the equipment and both to pay the access. But I'd really say that we hope for the best. For what we really need for the first time is a good email connection, because we have that strange situation of people having emails but being sort of lone rangers scattered around the net. So first we want to put together all the lone rangers in our town and our region, and then to expand more to the web.
Okay, and let's see, how quickly do you anticipate this changing? And I can say quickly, because in a very short time, Hungarian cyberculture grew very, expanded, you know, just tremendously. So I can imagine very easily that if you overcome certain problems with telecom and access, that you would have a very active cyber scene.
Actually, since New Year start, it's amazing how a community is growing, and people are much more involved than last year. And it's something we cannot explain, really. Maybe it's because our 3 months walking on the streets, so it has to do something with that. You know, people felt maybe that they're open after 6 years, that people are interested what's going on there, because in the past it was like we are dead, we are not existing. But now people are interested to know what's going on. They're interested to come to invite us to conferences like this. So I think everything is influencing the community. I mean, young people which want to be on the net, which want to have access. So I think it will grow rapidly, really.
Great. And do you have any final comments?
Well, we'll do what we can to get in the net, not to be an island in the net, but to be in the net itself.
Oh, great, great. Okay, so thank you for coming, and I hope we can get on the air again.
You are listening to Radio Beauty in the East, broadcasting a test signal. Check in again at 8:30 when we begin for real.
Poslušate testni signal Radia Beauty in the East, zares začnemo v 8:30.
Ooh. Is it still sounding very bad? Okay, huh, who do we have next?
It's okay.
Hello.
Now.
Diana. I was standing across the room and I couldn't help but notice you.
Diana, it's lovely to see you. Just got off the train.
Yes, and can you tell us who you are?
I'm Jocelyn Starr. I'm from Australia. I work with VNS Matrix. I also work with Leon Schmalewski. I make user unfriendly interfaces and paranoid interfaces.
What? Ah, yes, yes. And what do you think about this event so far?
So far, I'm really thirsty.
I actually just played a part of the interview that I did with her in Berlin. On the air, and it was about the difference in discourse between men and women online. It was not very long, but anyway, that was Josephine Starr for the listeners.
That was Josephine Bosma for the other listeners.
We're starting a Josephine club, maybe.
Looks like the mic's gone bad, I guess.
Okay, the radio is on automatic now, and I'll try to go down in the club and just see who I meet. Oh, the music is echoed in the club. Not yet. Hope you can hear me. I'll try to get someone to talk to. Who wants to talk to me? Who wants to talk to me? Who wants to talk to me and to the radio? Upstairs, so that we can sit here each other a bit. This is the music that we're listening to. I hope you heard that. I don't know what the quality of the program I'm making is, because I cannot check it. I lack an FM receiver.
It works.
Huh? Adela. Yeah, it works, of course. Should we go upstairs? Should we go to the toilet?
Well,
go outside maybe for a while. Okay, I'm standing now outside of the building, outside of the old event with two people, Olya Lialina and Keith Bunting. You two are related or not?
Yes.
You are, in what way?
My uncle's brother's sister is not there.
Really? She lives in Moscow? Okay. But now to less serious and more fun point. How do you travel here?
From A to B.
From A to B?
From
okay. Is there anything you would like to tell the listeners of this pirate radio transmission?
No. Maybe I think.
Okay. You have a nice data carrier around your neck. It has some trademarks on it. One.
The computer.
That's why you always carry computer discs around.
I travel like three small cabins.
Okay, why don't you have like a discot or a CD around your neck? What do you keep yours?
I don't know why don't I have it. Nobody paid.
But nobody paid for CD computer with also. I think she got it for free.
She's good.
America. Well, I'm the minority effector. Could you tell me what's going on in the car park this evening?
Not much. Some people are like taking their stuff out of their cars and into the club.
Like graffiti, for instance. Would you like to do some now?
Maybe. Why not?
Here is some chalk from London.
Very good. What can you do that?
Anything rebellious, I think.
Against what?
Against net crime, I think. Yeah.
It should say net crime in the graffiti. And it should say maybe a dirty word and maybe something else.
So, yeah. I do remember the tradition of Budapest as well, you know?
The graffiti on the door of the academy.
To make a replica.
Not replica.
A reference
to that.
Because there were rumors that certain people from London had done that graffiti.
Well, these people from London were rumored to do this graffiti.
I can't remember the specific details.
Okay. Let's make a reference to that graffiti. Maybe should we still have next time?
Your inspiration.
And do you know that in Russian, net means no? So if you write it in Russian, net, it will be no time. Net time.
Net time for something. Yeah. For number four. Yes, time for another final solution.
Well, I think we may should be keeping our repossession in that one. They have to come pay for and search the ground.
We will now turn off the mic and hope that someone is sending the radio and do the defeat. Bye bye.
To Radio Beauty in the East, broadcasting a test signal. check in again at 8:30 when we begin for real.
Poslušate tisni signal radija Beauty and the East, zares začnemo v 8:30.
Listening to Radio Beauty and the East, broadcasting a test signal. Check in again at 8:30 when we begin for real.
Poslušate tisni signal Radio Beauty and the East, zares začnemo v 8:30.